I don't know if you've been outside in, you know, the last few years, but I hear there's some people really concerned about the mixing of church and state. I don't know if you've heard this or encountered this anywhere, but that's what I've heard. Or when people start talking about what is on or not on a Starbucks cup, right? I usually ask, is it pretty? I don't know about you, but I'm looking to see the color and if they put some fun stuff on it. That's my thing. But whether we're talking about Christmas wishes or whether or not a human being can get treated at a hospital, there are some genuine questions about the role of faith in our society, not just our government. We are literally arguing about who we are to one another. Most of us know this morning's gospel as the Jesus tells us to pay taxes gospel. For a lot of people, this is the question of the hour and the perfect example of how to be a Christian in the world, right? Well, that perfect example, as we might call it, of course, reveals much about how we see the character of God, of Jesus, and the kingdom. And the most popular reading is the one that sounds like when we focus on Jesus' words, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. And we go, yeah, right on, right? Keep it separate and be chill. Right? That sounds right, doesn't it? But it also seems odd, right? It seems strangely out of place here in the text, right? This reading, I mean, given that what we've just been reading in Matthew. Remember how Jesus was teaching his disciples about a generous vision of God back in chapter 20, right? A vision of going out and finding more and more people and making sure that all of them get a day's wage, everyone. And he heals these two blind men who shout at him, right? Calling him Son of David, right? He comes into Jerusalem mocking Rome and trashes the temple. He teaches challenging parables, and the Pharisees and the leaders start looking to get rid of him, right? They start talking about having him tried for blasphemy and killed, right? They aren't messing around. We can't pretend this isn't what's going on. On here. Right? This is what we're reading about. So it isn't about employer-based contraceptive coverage, right? Or a doctor refusing to help a patient. It's not even really about taxes, if we're being honest. The substance of this passage is about a trap. Right? The leader's animosity towards Jesus. I don't read this passage and think, perpetual instruction for church-state relations, right? I mean, at best, we're trying to pull a nugget of wisdom from a rich context and turn it into a platitude. That's the best we're doing, right? At worst, we're misunderstanding the whole thing. Now, first and foremost, this is a trap. It's a trap. I think of Admiral Akbar, right? It's a trap! It is set for Jesus so they can have him killed. This is the point. This story isn't about money. It's about them. It's about what they are trying to do to Jesus. And they start by what seems like buttering him up, right? Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Right? Notice how they're leading him. It's not just buttering up. They're leading him. Because remember, they're not being honest. These words are false by intention. So we should be wary of them. They're leading him. Like, we know that you try to be colorblind and not just judge people by the color of their skin. But, right? Or, we know you treat the rich and the poor exactly the same. Right? And this sounds right, but it isn't the sentiment Jesus ever really describes. So it sounds fake for Jesus and for us. There's this linguistic image in the Greek which makes this interaction even better than you think. To think Scott Hosey on this one. That line about partiality at the end, for you do not regard people with partiality, may be better translated, for you do not look upon the face of people. They're saying, oh, you don't see their faces, right? Which, I mean, it sounds a lot like, I don't see your color, right? Or gender or age or whatever. You do not look upon the face of people. This is key because Jesus responds to their question about taxes with a far more telling introduction to his teaching, right? Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? He sees what they're doing, right? He sees past that first image, right? What they're trying to suggest, and sees to the heart of who they are. And he responds to that rather than their question. He's not really answering their question so much as answering the underneath problem, the one that's beneath the skin. But here's the best part. Remember that the word hypocrite is literally an actor. And in the Greek world, actors would be on the stage and they're known as hypocrites, and they would wear masks on their faces, a face upon a face. They quite literally pretend to be someone else wearing someone else's face. And they're the ones saying Jesus doesn't see people's faces, right? And he's like, I see yours and the face behind it. I see both. He names the treachery and calls them stage actors. So if Jesus were in a rap battle, he'd probably drop the mic right there, right? But he's not done. He has to show the people that this has everything to do with seeing their faces, their real faces. Jesus likes to teach in stories, we remember. But he also loves these visual teachings, too. He likes to show people much more than tell. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan call this moment a bit of guerrilla street theater, a big demonstration for the people to see. But as an actor, this is an actor who isn't acting. He's going in as himself. So he gets these Pharisees to fish in their pockets for a coin. And there are some elements here which will paint a picture for us of who these particular Pharisees really are. One of them takes this Roman coin, it's a denarius, out of his pocket. Now, the guy probably isn't supposed to have that coin there. This is questionable, right? This is about who he is and where he is and what he's doing, and he brings out this coin that probably shouldn't be there. So it has this sort of like gotcha quality to it that makes sense only in that context. It's kind of like back in the late 80s or the early 90s, George H.W. Bush went to a checkout line and didn't know how to work a checkout line. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't understand the belts, and he didn't understand the circumstances, and it became this metaphor that only in the context, you wouldn't make fun of a person for doing that, but the president didn't know us, right? That's how it felt. That's how it was used. So this may be a little bit like that, I suppose. So Jesus gets them to look at this coin. They take it out of their pockets and they look at this coin. And what you're going to see on this coin is you're going to see a face on it. It's Emperor Tiberius's face. And it says something like this, inscribed, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. For Caesar is Lord and God of the realm. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Son of God. Jesus' words about giving to the emperor the things which are his, and to God the things which are God's, comes as they stare at Tiberius's face as they read that he's God. And the words Jesus doesn't need to say appear in the minds of all the people standing there watching in awe of him and of this moment. They flash in understanding and fear and utter amazement so clearly they don't need to be said. Right? The words Jesus doesn't need to utter, pretenders, this is the face of your God. There's a book I liked to read to my kids when they were younger. It showed this great connection between all of us, that below the skin where our many shades of pigmentation are different up here, but down here we have the same blood, right? It's all red. And we feel the same, and we hurt, and we bleed the same. And I loved this image because it didn't simply say, we are all the same. It said, because we know we're not. But it said that we share a common humanity. We feel, and we hurt, and we love, and we can see beyond the surface difference to see what is underneath. It pushes us outside of our heads and the politics and the need to pretend we are all the same or all have the same exact circumstances or that Jesus loves you exactly the same as your neighbor, like some sort of puzzle or riddle or some metaphysical thing, exercise to make up. And instead we go into our hearts and feel our empathy, compassion, and love for them, that we may be hurting like they hurt. So this is why the question of church and state and taxes and all that junk is so far removed from Jesus' sense of value and identity here. It is at best a manifestation of something far deeper. He's thinking about the generous, compassionate love of God being made manifest right here. And he can see it on our faces, and he can see it that way too. We can see it. That's what we can see when we look in each other's faces. We can see faces of love, generous, hope-filled faces who long to make God's beautiful kingdom come right here in this place. And we can see the real faces, full of vibrant living of the love of God. And in the sharing, we bring the kingdom closer as a love offering to God.